Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 27 of the Film Club podcast. My name is Jason.
I'm Robert.
Hi, I'm Cody.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good.
That's good. On this week's episode, we're going to be talking the latest remake, which is Evil Dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But before we get into that, and you guys been up to anything?
No.
That's usually the response that we get.
I mean, I'm up to stuff. I don't want to bore your listeners.
No. Anything
working?
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Same. I mean, here. I guess I was going to plug stuff, so I guess I could do that at the beginning. But yeah, I've been working on movies. So if you're not doing anything, April 19th, go to the Logan Square Theater. And there's a movie called Sacrificial Youth that I helped with the audio on. And then June 1st at the Patio Theater, there's a movie called Dorothy Marie and the Unanswered Questions of the Zombie Apocalypse. And I am currently doing audio on that. And that's why I'm busy. So yeah, there's plugs.
Well, that's an awesome thing. What are you doing? Oh, just
that's a good thing.
Helping audio with movies, like.
Yeah. Well, they're very low budget movies, but
still
yeah.
Cool. Still very
yeah,
cool.
It's still pretty awesome. Yeah.
So are we? Yeah, this section usually never goes well.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's
usually consistent. Yeah, we've been working all week. And
listen, we work.
We drink beer every now and then, and that's about it.
maybe we shouldn't
be put on the spot by because you should expect that you're actually probably going to do this. This is a normal, you know, part of your podcast. Maybe
yeah,
you should.
Yeah. Like,
I should
probably be ready with stories to tell at least.
Yeah, this is like the first non-list show I think I've been on.
Yeah.
Because I usually just like doing the list shows, but I like the Evil Dead series, so I wanted to be on this one.
Yeah. You made it a point to be like, hey.
That was months ago,
when you
too,
guys do just the Evil Dead, like, I want to be on it.
Yeah.
So, that's why we're here. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys want to talk about Evil Dead?
Sure. Synopsis, Robert?
I think, actually, real quick, just, what is you guys' opinion of the original before we jump in?
I love the original. I loved all this whole series when I was a kid. I used to watch it all the time, so I was a big fan of the original. I know, did you ever watch it, Jason?
I remember Army of Darkness when I was younger. I had recently rewatched Evil Dead. Maybe not recently, a few years back. I watched Evil Dead for the first time. And then I watched Evil Dead 2 this past October for the first time. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of them. I mean, no.
I remember you saying that. That's part of the reason I brought that up.
Yeah, I don't hate them, but yeah, I think a part of people liking them probably nostalgia and seeing it growing up. I think that's
but
a big part.
That's
of
a
it.
Lot of all those movies.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Mm-hmm. Same thing with me. Like, you know, we did that horror list, and you, mm-hmm. like, there's a bunch of stuff. I'm sure you looked at me like, "What the fuck is that crap doing on there?"
Yeah.
But
well,
like, just, you know,
I've
part
actually
of my
heard a lot of like kids who were like kids when the new Star Wars trilogy came out. They actually like the prequel trilogy better than, you know, the one that everyone else was pissed when the trilogy was made because that's their trilogy, you know? It's all what you were a kid for.
Yeah.
And I did watch these as kids, and so there is a huge nostalgia factor. I actually saw Army of Darkness in the theater opening weekend. I remember that. So
when was that? Like, when did that open, come out?
I don't remember.
91 or
something
92?
Like that, yeah.
Okay. That's actually the first one that I saw.
Yeah, actually, it was me
backwards.
Too. I saw that not knowing that it was actually a sequel, and then we went back and rented everything. And going from Army of Darkness to Tree Rape is a huge jump, but you know, kids gotta learn sometime.
I don't know. I mean, with the originals, like, I get to draw, like, the effects are amazing, and like the stuff that Raimi does or whoever filmed it, whatever they do with the camera, like, is insane. It's amazing. Just it's hard for me to sit down and watch it straight through because I feel like it's really monotone, I guess, in a way. I don't really want to hate on your
that's what the fuck, like, this, you guys are always I'm sorry, I'm going to turn
to
the listeners
here, like,
here.
No, I'm not going to be polite. This is us versus
I'm going to turn to the listeners because I am a listener. I do listen to this podcast, and sometimes I think you guys are way too polite. Like, you guys like a movie.
Yeah.
Just own it, man. Yeah, I love some pretty fucking bad movies, you know? Yeah. I mean,
there's definitely times when I'm like listening to an episode, I'm like, why did I not defend my point stronger?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
why did I just let it go?
I like Evil Dead, and I know I'm not alone with it. I've seen like Wizard World a couple years ago, they actually had, it was like the something anniversary of it, and I actually watched the Evil Dead panel with all the actors and stuff like that. I am a big fan. That's why I wanted to do this one, but that doesn't mean you should be. Own it.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
You put me in my place.
You got put a blast on your podcast.
Yeah.
Some synopsis.
Okay. I'm sorry for that tangent. I was just
That was good that we got that out of the way.
Yeah. Okay, so in the much anticipated remake of the 1981 cult hit horror film, 5 20-something friends become holed up in a remote cabin when they discover a book of the dead. Okay, they unwittingly summon up dormant demons living in the nearby woods. Okay. That's where I'm gonna stop because the rest gets really spoilery.
Yeah.
So well, as far as spoilers go, I mean, like,
it's hard.
Before we jump into it, I mean, how spoiler can you get other than the original? Because, I mean, it doesn't do the same plot line, but it is a general. I mean, the general synopsis of reading the Necronomicon. I don't think they call it the Necronomicon.
They don't call it that. They don't even call it anything.
Here's what it is.
Is that looping now?
I don't know.
All right, cool. We're back.
We're back.
All right, where were we?
I don't know. I think you were mid-sentence.
Yeah, we were.
Where were you?
For the listeners out there, my computer, I'm running on my old computer here, and the CPU gave out on Pro Tools. Yeah. So we're back. Yep. What were we saying?
So you're talking about spoilers, I think.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a different movie, but we can definitely spoil what's there from the original, you know, the basics. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean it's different characters.
I don't like getting into spoilers too much. I like to avoid them as best I can. And I think we've done like a bad job at that. So I want
to
start doing a better job at that.
Well, it's hard to be objective because as much as I did like this remake, there was a couple problems I had with it, and I can't really say what those are without spoiling them. So you're just going to have to watch the movie and guess
what you're talking about.
No, guess which were the parts that I didn't like are. Yeah.
So you won't be talking about it.
No, I won't be talking about it. So let's, right, I don't know.
So who wants to get into it first? Your thoughts on the film?
You guys are too polite. Come on, guys.
You know why, like, I hate starting it, so. You guys start it.
Cody, go first. You haven't been out in a while.
You're the guest.
I thought it was well directed. I think, you know, some of the plot, specific parts of the plot I had problems with. And that's what I was saying. Like, there was just a couple scenes where I was just like, oh, come on, you know. But I also think that it was done in the classic horror, like, way that... Like, I don't know, like an 80s horror film does have a lot of bad decisions by the people involved, and there are some of those errors. But as a whole, I think it was that's the director's first film, and I thought his style-wise, he did a great job. The gore, it was very, very great to see someone using practical effects again, because like a lot of horror films now, it just seems like they just half-ass it, and the blood's just thrown in an After Effects later, and it's just like, oh, like watching Walking Dead right now is just so annoying, where you just see like the blood on there looks
good,
horrible.
Yeah,
and it's, I mean, I know it's TV and you shouldn't hold it to the budgetary advantages of doing a feature, but I really love, I'm looking forward to see where this director goes. As a whole, the story was, you know, mediocre, but like it was a fun horror film, and it's definitely one of the better horror films I've seen in a while. I'm not a fan of a lot of the new horror out there, so yeah. One of you guys?
I agree that the plot was mediocre. I kind of walked out of the movie just being like, meh, you know. the gore was amazing, but I felt like that was what the movie was about, just right. the gore. There was really no substance mm-hmm. at all.
They get stabbed so many times.
Yeah.
yeah, it's a little distracting. I'm telling you, like, it's I don't know. I gotta keep one on to monitor, but it's kind of distracting when you're talking.
All gore, no substance. It's hard not to get into spoiler territory. It really is. I felt like the stories behind the characters, especially the Mio girl, I felt they were really pointless.
Yeah, like, I thought, like, they actually set it up as a good reason for them to go to...
Yeah.
I guess that really a spoiler. I mean, because that is the beginning up a movie that they're going...
The girl's a drug addict, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that, I mean, we could spoil we can that one. That. I mean, that's the premise. They're at the cab, and she is quitting heroin, and she's going to go through withdrawals at this cabin in the woods to, you know, make sure that she can't run off and, you know... relapse.
It didn't really go anywhere
with it was a good setup, but
I thought it was a good setup to serve the purpose of
the relationship,
like, you know, there's not the relationship necessarily, but like horror movies, there's usually stupid shit happening and you're kind of thinking like, why are the characters keeping themselves in this situation? Mm-hmm. I think that was a good reason.
Well, it's better have a week long party in the woods. That's a little drawn out. So like, I'm glad they at least, you know, went from a different angle. Yeah.
So I thought it served like that purpose really well.
Yeah.
But like, I also thought, like, I mean, they try to set up this relationship with the brother and the sister about, like, you know, they had this troubled childhood with their mother being crazy or something like that. And I think by the halfway through the movie, when shit's going bonkers, they kind of abandon it, but then they try to, like, bring it back at the end. And it's like, I don't think they gave it enough credence to actually justify everything the setup.
I love that you said that. It was like, in the beginning, it was all about their backstories and everything. In the middle, nothing. They don't mention anything about that. And at the end, remember earlier in the movie when we talked about our problems in the past? Yeah, now we're bringing it up again because this is where everything gets all cathartic and awesome.
Yeah, this is where we thought this might be appropriate.
Yeah, but... exactly. That's what I felt like. Yeah. Oh, it's just appropriate to have that backstory. Yeah. It didn't have any meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's like what the movie was supposed. It was a great visual, like, you know, ride. I think that he didn't spend a lot of time on plot. I don't think it was that important to him. Yeah. I think he wanted to make a movie. Like, the basic of the original Evil Dead movie was they read a book, all hell breaks loose, and it's a bunch of random stuff as well.
That's what I liked about the original. Yeah. There was no backstories behind any of the characters.
Yeah.
They just go to the cab.
There was the thing with the necklace that they kind of did this to.
Yeah, but was like one scene, right? it's like
that was his girlfriend.
But, I mean, that's what I loved about it. They showed up, this happens, and that's it. All hell ensues.
I mean, we definitely don't need that story, but I don't know. I mean, with the originals, it's just repeating the same thing over and over again. It's so hard for me to, like,
well, the original, though, I mean, you got to give it credit. I mean, Sam Raimi got to do all the movies he did because he came out with this low-budget movie, and he made it very stylistically, where if you look at horror movies at the time, 1981, no one was trying to... he was trying those angles, that whole camera chasing through the woods thing.
Yeah, when I was watching Evil Dead 2 and they were having those scenes, like, I was amazed. I'm like, how did they do this?
Yeah, he was
like,
doing some
like
crazy
seen it,
stuff.
Seen
yeah.
it in this movie, like, I'm not impressed. Like, yeah, we're in 2013. I'm sure there's a way they did that.
Have you seen the short film that the kid who made this movie did to get this movie? Or
no.
You should check it out. It's actually pretty cool. It's like this like city and it's getting like attacked by robots. It's actually kind of cool. Yeah. But yeah, it's just like a no-name guy made a short film, and all of a sudden, here, have Evil Dead. So I don't know. I give him credit from that, but you know,
and I guess like you were talking about earlier about the gore. Mm-hmm. After having seen the film, I guess I didn't give him enough credit that he did go the practical route with the gore. Like, there's really no CG gore in it, and that's.
I don't know. I'm a huge practical person, so like the second I see the second I see that stuff, it's just like. I mean, it's almost like on Django Unchained. I thought like Quentin Tarantino might have almost overdid it with some of those blood splats, but it's just so reassuring to see like the chaotic splatter of the blood going where it naturally will from an like a squib explosion, as opposed to someone on a program like, and I guess we're going to do some blood splatters here and here, and you know. I could keep going back to Walking Dead. I have some problems with that right now, but yeah.
The stabbing in the face, CG.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get off track with Walking Dead, but
yeah,
they still have some good stuff.
Oh no,
they still have some really good disgusting stuff.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I love Walking Dead because I get to watch zombies on TV, but yeah. that season finale took a lot of wind out of my sails.
Well, I guess we can talk about that later, right?
I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry for getting on tangents.
I actually, you know, like I posted on Facebook, yeah. Like I am kind of back into it because yeah. I did. I mean, whatever.
I thought they were building at the beginning of the season. I know they're having showrunner problems. We're getting way off topic. Does this matter? Or...
Why don't we just come back to Walking
Dead? Yeah, we'll come back to Walking Dead later.
But yeah, so I mean, I give them credit for that. But like Robert said, like for me, the gore is all this movie has to offer.
Right.
And, like, and honestly, I mean, there is some really unsettling stuff, I think, here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like how there's points where you're seeing stuff in the, I think they only do it once, but you're seeing something in the Book of the Dead,
mm-hmm.
and then you know that's what's coming. So it's kind of unsettling knowing that's about to happen. It actually does happen a few times.
Yeah, no. Well, I think at the first you don't really. He's kind of flipping through, and then it's like, oh, that's that picture.
Yeah, he finds something, and now you know what's about to happen. So I thought that was effective, but I mean,
mm-hmm.
you're not gonna do it for me, of course. Like. You're not going to show me something I haven't seen, basically.
Yeah.
But the only thing that got me relationship wise between the characters and like and behind and as far as their backstory, watching it the second time, I caught it. The teacher, you know, how was really like hesitant towards the guy, the main character, one of the main characters, the brother.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, why is he here? He doesn't even care about us or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's a part where he's waiting for him in the truck, and he goes back into the basement, and then he saves his life or something. It's I don't want to give anything away. It's hard.
Yeah.
But there's a moment where he goes like, I missed you, man.
Oh,
but yeah. And I realized watching it the second time, I knew what he meant. Like, he missed his best friend. Like, he missed being around him. He missed him, like, being with his group.
I definitely like that aspect of it.
Yeah, that moment was great. That was
about him not being there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's at the beginning. That's the part I did like, though, is they kind of, at the beginning, set up a story. I just don't think they took it somewhere where they could have done a lot with that one character. You know, I didn't look up characters' names, but the brother, apparently they were all a group of friends from childhood or something. He pretty much moved away and abandoned all of them, and I kind of thought that was a nice way to set it up, or you know, like they all were like, you know, you abandoned us kind of thing, but you know, we're here for your sister kind of thing. And again, I think somewhere around them reading out that book, they lost track of that was a plot line.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, how much are you really concerned about that with, you know, your friend's possessed trying to kill you or something? Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's like, why dwell on it at that point, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I mean, even with the book stuff, like, I mean, me and Rob were talking about this earlier. I mentioned one little thing, but like with this movie, it can't really do too many different things because it has a blueprint that it kind of has to follow, it being a remake or whatnot. But as soon as, you know, they find the book and one of the characters like starts reading from it, I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I know you said, you know, it's an 80s movie. This is or it's a remake of an 80s movie anyway. These are like the rules. After having seen Cabin in the Woods, which was
an homage to it, though.
My God.
I mean,
I feel Cabin in the Woods destroyed.
Cabin in the Woods
movie.
Is definitely a love letter, but we were talking about this the other day. Like the same thing with Scream. Like Scream revitalized the series or revitalized the horror genre.
Yeah,
but ruined it in a lot of ways
because it called out every.
It called out, so it raises awareness, which just got annoying. How aware these movies became. Yeah. I mean, Cabin in the Woods did that, but to a lesser scale, because I don't think Cabin in the Woods was nearly the phenomenon that Scream was.
Right.
But now it's kind of hard to watch a movie, and then these things are happening, and I'm like, this is
on a broader scale, though. You can say that not just about horror. You can say that about the whole range of 80s films. Yeah. I mean, you go back and watch an Arnold movie now as opposed to the action films that they try to release, you know, like, I mean, yeah. Watch the 80s Arnold film versus modern, like, action flicks. They hold up just because there was a silly 80s nostalgia to it where they were allowed to do the one-liners. They were allowed to, you know, just do ridiculous shit. But now maybe just because we're older or cinema's evolved to this point where you're just like, oh, come on. You can't do that. You know.
No, I know what you're talking about. That's how I feel about like those old 40s and 50s films where everything has to have a musical number in it. And now they don't do that anymore. Like, you know, it's like, I get it. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, visiting old movies is hard for me a lot, too, because they're...
Like, it is painful, isn't it?
Well, my biggest problem with, like, 40s movies and stuff like that is every actor came out of stage, and they did not take in consideration that you don't have to project anymore, so almost every single actor comes out on, like, they're, like, into the scene, like, they're coming out of stage, like... Well, I'm still projecting to an audience. And it's like, no. Play it like a scene, you know, do it like natural acting. It's like, I don't know.
But movies like from back then, I feel like they have like this language to them.
Yeah.
And this energy to them that, like, you know, you don't see that.
Well, I'm not saying it's universal shitty. I mean, I fucking love Dr. Strangelove. I mean, that's the older film.
I mean, you definitely have to have more patience for older films. Exactly. Yeah,
it's just screen sleep.
Yeah. So.
We could get back on topic about Evil Dead. I'm the king of tangents. Just get me on this show. I'll take you somewhere else.
I don't know, man. I was just really anticipated. We were really excited about this movie beforehand. We're like, we're gonna do a podcast about it. It's gonna be awesome. And then as we got closer to it. The anticipation got less and less, and then we saw the midnight, and it just went by so fast for me. Like an hour and a half? No. It felt like 20 minutes to me. Like, it really did. I was just like, oh, it's over. Okay. That was it? Like, and then that was like, I don't know.
But isn't that a good thing, though? Like, I've seen a lot of hour and a half movies where it's just like, oh, Jesus Christ, was that only an hour and a half? I felt like a day.
I've only had very few experiences like that. Like, watching Dark Knight, it was like a 2.5-hour movie that went by, like, 2 hours, 45 minutes that went by so fast.
Yeah.
But this literally felt 20 minutes. Now, when it goes by too fast, you're like, whoa, what the fuck? I feel like I just missed everything. Like, but no.
I had like that, but it was that I actually looked it up. Did you ever see Piranha 3DD?
No.
The movie is under an hour.
Oh,
like,
is it really?
Or maybe it's somewhere around an hour where, like, it was done. I was like, this can't be fucking right. And then I looked it up and it was like somewhere around an hour long. I'm like, oh, really? Well, I feel kind of, I mean, ripped if I off. Paid for it, I would feel ripped off. But hey, I paid for the first one. So,
I mean, first one was great.
The first one was worth, I'm glad I paid for it. I think we should have a dual rating system on your podcast. We should bring up, you know, you're 1 through 5, and then you should have the one that's like, I would buy it, I would rent it, I'd illegally download it, or it's not even worth me illegally download. Because, I mean, that's like the real test.
True.
You know.
We should rate it like that. But, I mean, I don't really have much to say about Evil Dead. I was left kind of disappointed. I mean, back to the gore. The gore was great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm the person who, like, loves gore in horror movies, and then I end up cracking up after I see the gore. That's, like, I was cracking up at the theater the whole entire time. But, I mean, it was entertainment. It was entertaining. It's just disappointing. The last good horror film I saw, I told Jason this as we're walking in your apartment, was Drag Me to Hell.
Dragon Hill.
Was the last great horror movie
I've seen. I just rewatched that a little bit ago.
And nothing since then has really, like, got me into, like, so scared and into it and made me laugh and everything. Like, ever since then, nothing has ever made me do that again.
I agree. Like, growing up, was a huge horror fan. I still am, but I feel like maybe maybe I'm just immune to it now. Like, but all these horror films I've seen now, they're just so derivative of everything else, and it's been done 1,000 times, and it's just like, God, I saw a 70s movie that I thought was horrible that did it better than this, and it's, you know, it's bad. But like,
I think there's a lot of good stuff like in the indie scene. I mean, yeah. I don't really explore horror too much because there's a lot of bad crap out there.
Yeah, you have to. But it's hard to find the good
like,
ones. Stuff.
Like Innkeepers, you're telling me. You
I still have not seen Innkeepers.
Innkeepers,
I know.
I adore. Yeah. Like I saw it. Not so long
keep,
ago.
Like I even like I think it was Ty West who did that or something like that. Yeah, he was on Doug Loves Movies that he kept talking about. I was like, man, I got.
You have to check out Inky.
I call it slowcore horror.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. His movies are like a very slow burn.
Like, I don't mind if a movie's slow if it works. You
have you seen House of the Devil?
House of the
That was his first film.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen
and
that.
And that is fucking slow. I mean, I like really love House of the Devil, but when I rewatched it with my buddies and they thought it was really slow, like, it is really slow. Yeah. I mean, but Innkeepers, there's enough there to get into, I think, but it is still a slow burn. So.
Yeah.
But anyway. He's making good horror anyway.
So you guys sound like you don't have anything else.
I'm
to
just
about
like,
Evil Dead.
I'm like, I was telling
you
earlier.
That's the thing. Like, yeah, you know, there's just some episodes where I just like, I don't.
You
hate
just don't
the,
care.
I don't love the movie. I don't hate the movie. I don't think it's terrible. Like this movie, like it wasn't entertaining.
Would
was
you?
Tough.
What would you say to? I mean, well, I guess your listeners. What would you say to them if they wanted to see it in a theater? Would you say go see it in a theater?
I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're really if you're really into gore.
Yeah, CD
yeah,
theater.
Like yeah. I think there is great gore here, but outside of that, it's your typical by the numbers horror movie, in my opinion.
All right. So. Well, that made me think. Like one thing I did like about this though is it does also seem like horror films nowadays they're either like a slasher film of someone just you know trying to come at you, or now it's like a Paranormal Activity thing, or like straight up that you know Saw torture porn kind of stuff. At least. This one still seems like it has a little bit of that 80s charm of the supernatural, you know, something
but like,
else.
But, like, it didn't even play. I mean, going into this movie, I didn't expect it to play up any type of, like, humor aspect. And, like even in the original, like, there's some silly stuff, but not really.
Well, it wasn't until Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 2 is
the
just.
The original is just, like, straight
Evil
horror.
Dead 2 is the classic. Everyone, like, you know, says Evil Dead because, you know, whatever. But Evil Dead 2 is. They remade Evil Dead 1, added some slapstick in it, and it was a fun fucking movie.
Yeah.
And I still love the trilogy. Evil Dead would probably be my least favorite of all of them, to be, you know, completely honest. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, I love horror comedy, if you've caught on from my raves about cabins in the woods. Hey, Birdemic 2 is premiering soon here. I forget the date. It's coming up very shortly. I'm debating going. The thing is, like, Birdemic 1 was horrible for all the right reasons, and I have a feeling the second was just going to be like, well, people like this. Let's just give more crap. It's like, no, the first movie was horrible. That's why it was so funny.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you guys think of, like, the girl, like the main girl in this movie.
She's a decent actress.
She's okay.
I thought everyone in there was an all right performance. I actually didn't like the brother was probably my least favorite out of everyone.
He's pretty generic, yeah.
Yeah, he seemed generic, but like I thought as a whole everyone put out decent performances.
Yeah.
Again, there were scenes I didn't think needed to be there, but you know, like, okay, you know, non-spoilerish, I always feel like the first 15 minutes can kind of be spoilerish. Did you think that they needed the opening scene?
What was the opening scene?
Yeah, that was kind of pointless. I agree with you. No, it did. I don't think they did.
What was the opening scene?
Well, with the daughter.
Exactly.
With
the other people like who were using their basement.
The strangers,
so when they came there, it's just like, someone was in our basement.
Hey, let's put a random.
There's a book here.
Let's put a random burn victim into the background that looks all creepy to make the movie all eerie. Like, that was really stupid.
I guess it was.
It wasn't 100% necessary. They could have done like a short, like, call back to something that happened. Just like they came to the cabin and something was there and no one would have cared.
One of the things that I loved about the original that was really creepy was the audio, like the recordings. Mm-hmm. I wish they did that here.
The playback. Well, no, it is pretty. See, now I feel like we're going to get into spoilers again. I don't care. It was really stupid. He does the rubbings. It's just like, do not read everywhere. Yeah. Do not read. And he fucking reads it.
That's insane. I just couldn't get past that.
The way he reads it, though, was the worst part. Kunda. Like, nobody reads like that. Are you serious?
It's just like, If I'm going to call some evil spirits from the dead, I might as well do it with conviction.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could have just written like Kunda. No, he's like Kunda.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is that all about? Like,
well, I feel like you guys are dumb. I want to keep talking about this. So, what do you think about the call, the return of tree rape?
There wasn't really tree rape. She didn't get tree raped by that tree.
I mean, you know the original.
That thing that came out of that demon's mouth.
Yeah, you know that they got an NC-17 and had to re-edit it a couple times, right?
Oh, did they really? Yeah. They did. I heard about that. They re-edited it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe I might be. I didn't really read into it, but I just assumed that might have been. Everything else that happened in the movie, I'm assuming that's probably what they cut out, because other than that, I mean, there wasn't any gratuitous sex or anything like that, you know.
I appreciated that.
I just appreciated
that it wasn't about like people being there and trying to get it on. Like,
well, yeah, actually, I mean, that's one of those things, like the old classic, like, you know, Friday the 13th thing, where it's just like Jason hates people about to have sex. You know, and yeah, I mean, I guess it is good to see that they move past. I hate cliche, but I do like the homage.
I don't mind if they're having fun with it. I mean, this movie, to me, it felt like they didn't have any interest in like having fun.
Right.
You know, it just felt like a serious horror movie.
Well, compared to like other remakes, what do you think? Let's just stick to remake horrors, because I actually hate most remake horror films.
I don't know. I guess we would have to name a few.
Okay, I hate all the ones produced by Michael Bay's group.
So you don't like the Texas films?
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre ones, yeah. And
I mean,
you know, actually, the one that I have to think say,
the remake
though,
of Texas is decent.
Yeah,
it's
decent. the one with the nuclear.
Hills Have Eyes.
The original one sucked. So it was one of those ones, like, I don't care if you remake a movie that's like, really, you want a second try at this? Okay.
Yeah, you know,
like Last House on the Left was a horrible original film. So it's like, I mean, you can only improve on it. I mean, it was a poor man's
I thought both of those remakes were decent.
Yeah.
But like, like you're saying, it's not hard to improve on that.
Yeah.
I've only seen the original Hills Have Eyes. I couldn't get through Last House on the Left, but
dude, you know the good one you gotta watch is Hills Have Eyes 2, the original. It has a dog flashback scene. That's the only time I have ever seen that in a movie, where it's a dog and he sees someone and he remembers a scene from the first movie.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was just one of those ones, like, oh, all right, you're gonna try this in a movie. Okay. I also remember that movie was the, like, you just call it out. It was like generic, horribly written black character gets killed off first. Like, it was like that 80s cliche thing. It's like, oh, yep, that's where that cliche is. And that's all you need to know about Hills Have Eyes 2. Don't rent it.
Yeah. I never saw the sequel to the remake either.
I think I did.
The guy who
it had nothing to do with.
He's a really good, like, horror director. Yeah. So, I mean, he did Piranha.
Is that the same guy?
He did High Tension.
High Tension was cool.
So, yeah. The only thing that wasn't good was Mirrors. He did Mirrors. The one with Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, he did that one?
I never saw that one.
It wasn't that good.
I think with High Tension, when I saw it, it was like literally a month after I read it was Dean Koontz's...
Congo?
No, that's
that
Michael
was
Crichton.
Didn't even get the joke right.
Yeah, no. God damn it. I remember this has a neon cover. But anyways, it starts out very, very similar. It takes a completely different last half of the movie. But it was like, at first I was like, is this the same fucking movie? I mean, it was like, is he ripping off Dean Koontz? But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's not many good ones. I actually think that,
okay.
Did you hear what
we were talking about while you're in the bathroom? Or
no,
we're talking about horror remake movies.
Okay.
Like this movie, Evil Dead,
in comparison to other remakes. Yeah.
I think I heard you talk about Hills Have Eyes. I think that was a good remake. If you were to compare, this was a good as far as its predecessor was a good remake.
My least favorite by far is Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. The thing about like horror movies now, though, have a Halloween and their remakes, like back in the day, like it was easy to understand these people were like in solitude. They couldn't reach anybody. They were fucked. Like nowadays, like everything's so easily accessible. Yeah. You can't really get and believe that scenario anymore. You can't. Like that's what makes it hard now these days to watch a horror movie.
Almost every new horror film has to somehow explain why you have no cell phone service or something
like that. Yeah, exactly. Like why you
they should just make like more period pieces.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. They should, yeah.
Every horror film has to take place in the 70s.
In the 70s.
Actually, you know, exactly. But the 70s was the golden age for horror films. Yeah. So I mean, like, that's where they actually did the innovations. That's when they actually started taking risk and
like,
but then yeah, in the 80s, they had fun with it.
Stupid flood in the remake in Evil Dead, where you can't cross. Like, why not just put the bridge there? The bridge was fucked up in the first place, like in the original.
I mean, it wasn't that bad.
Like, well, what?
Cool. But
it wasn't believable. Like, really, a fucking river that's the size of a flood that's the size of the Mississippi River. Like, oh, I can't cross that because the road, like, it's stupid.
Well, it depends where you are. I mean, like,
it looked like the rapids and shit. Like, I honestly, well, I don't know. I went to
Mount Rainier a couple years ago, like during, I think it was July or like early July ish, and they have, you know, permanent glaciers up in there. Yeah. And around that season, I mean, it's just starting to melt. I mean, and there are they're temporary rivers where they're just all of a sudden, yep, that's a river there.
But that should have been explained. Like, you're talking about this generation. Yeah. They're not gonna get that. They're gonna be like, what the fuck?
Oh yeah, I just saw it. I saw like on Facebook earlier today. It was a whole thing of it was just a list of people on Twitter who didn't realize that North Korea, they're making comments about North Korea being the people who did Pearl Harbor. And it's just like, God damn it, America. I mean, it's just like how do you not know that much of history, you know?
I was watching some stupid show at the Fantasy Factory. One of the guys in Fantasy Factory didn't know that World War II. Well, he thought World War II was in the 70s. Like, this is the generation that we're living in now. It's ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
But no, I don't know.
Are you so okay? Do you want to just conclude Evil Dead? Or
no, I was gonna say something else.
Okay,
what do you find more stuff to talk about while I try to remember what the hell I was thinking.
Okay, I want to bring up. Okay, no, okay. What do you got?
No, this is not specifically to Evil Dead, but more like the horror genre again. Right. I guess this is going to be a podcast mostly about the horror genre and how it's
failing. Seems like all mine end up being like that.
No, it's I believe like it's
failing.
See you
next Halloween, guys.
And there's got to be that one filmmaker, that one horror film that's really got to save it, or else it's done. It's my opinion.
I don't think it'll ever be done. It's just
getting revived. Not done as in they never make horror movies again. Yeah. Just like, there never really will be a good one ever again for a long time.
Well, it's just you need a new innovation because, like, I love zombie movies, but I actually hate that now.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, for the longest time before, not like zombies are the biggest thing ever, but, like, for the longest time, I'd say right around when 28 Days Later came out, like, I saw, like most of my friends, I don't even remember who went with me. I think I had one person with me, but I was like, oh man, the guy from who directed Trainspotting is doing a fucking zombie movie. Come on, let's go see it. I saw that opening weekend at Piper's Alley. That was like the only theater that was doing it. And I just remember, and I came out, I was like, you guys got to see this movie. You guys got to see this movie. And it was just like, you know, oh, whatever. Fast forward through a year later, like zombies are big. And it's like, you know, the remake of Dawn of the Dead comes out. And it's like, oh, sweet. And, you know, it's like, it's great. And then fast forward like 3 years later, it's like, I'm sick of you guys like your zombies. Come on, give me back my zombies. You know,
zombies are the new pirates.
Yeah.
Right now.
The new pirates.
Yeah, but someone just needs like
the new, I call it the new bullet time. The new bullet time.
Like vampires are played out, zombies are played out. We need and I would even say slasher films I just heard they're making a new Hatchet movie. I can't think of another film that they need to make more than Hatchet 3.
This is why I like Drag Me to Hell. I thought it was original. Like, no one's made a movie about that kind of like story. That story you've never really seen before. Yeah. Like, I don't know. And the things that happen to the character is like horrible. Yeah. But that's awesome. Like, you feel like really bad for this character. But I love it. Like, wait a minute. That's what the horror movie is supposed to be about. You're supposed to feel like shit for this character because they're going through the most horrific things. And like, they're just They don't deserve that, you know? And that's what I loved about that movie.
Yeah, the only movie I ever compare that to, though, I remember the first time I saw that, I was a little drunk, and I just through the whole movie, I just kept going, thinner!
Because of the gypsies, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Nothing better than a good gypsy curse. I remember being, like,
fascinated with Thinner when I was younger. It's not really a good movie.
No, yeah, it's not good.
Thinner?
I saw that on HBO.
I remember you always, like, renting it.
You know, I guess it's sort of on topic just because it was in the previews. I know you're at the same showing as me.
Yeah.
I do not even... can we just skip... I guess I'm not a regular on your podcast, but the remake of Carrie, looked fucking, like...
They showed the whole movie.
Like, it was just straight up to, like, but they're all going to laugh at you. And it's just like, really? You're still going to just, you're going to even take the exact line, you know? It's like, that's an Adam Sandler fucking album name, for God's sakes. You know, it's like.
There's something about that actress that I really can't stand.
What actress?
Chloe Grace Moretz. She played Hit Girl. There's just something
about
her.
Oh, is that who's Carrie?
Yeah, yeah. I just,
she's a lot older now.
Like, yeah, she's got.
She's taller.
Huh, that's weird. All right,
they're gonna make fun of you. Like, no, you're not. You're a decent looking girl. I'm sure they're not gonna make fun
of you. So what do you have against Hit Girl? Because I thought she was one of the best parts of Kick-Ass, which Kick-Ass, and I'm looking forward to Kick-Ass too.
I am too. I agree.
I don't like Kick-Ass that much.
Yeah. So. Really? I didn't see it coming. I never read the comic. I felt like it
didn't live up to its premise about a real life superhero. It just got ridiculous.
It kind of got ridiculous. Yeah.
That's what I loved about it. Like, I
love
didn't
that it
know
morphed into
see.
That too. Yeah.
Like, I walked into it like, whatever, generic movie. It's going to be a and then all of a sudden when Hit Girl came in, like, and then she took out that room, I was like, the shit just got real.
I liked Big Daddy a lot, but Hit Girl is just the whole South Park thing of.
For the record, Jason just said he liked a performance by Nicolas Cage. I just wanted to...
Nicolas Cage is a great actor. I'm sorry. Nicolas Cage is a fantastic actor.
He's really terrible sometimes, but yeah.
No, if you watch him in the right movies.
I love Adaptation. Yeah, exactly. That movie's great. Yeah. You know,
Have you seen Vampire's Kiss? I'm sorry. That movie's genius. Never seen that one. Movie's amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, but the figure, I don't know. Just her character was, it's just a little girl who just says really profane things.
It was fun, though. It was a great addition. I mean...
Yeah, I guess I'm just being, a Debbie Downer or whatever.
No.
Dude, again, with the politeness, I thought we were doing good this show. Just say,
I did not like Hit Girl. I do not like this actor. I'm just saying, sometimes, like you guys said, it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
But... I want it more from the premise.
I honestly believe you have, when it comes to movies that are purposely unfun, you have no sense of fun watching them. Like, we were talking about Star Trek a couple weeks ago. I'm like, you know what? Star Trek was just a fun movie. Like,
there's the J.J. Abrams one?
Yeah.
It is, but
the added fun to Star Trek. What's not to like?
No, and he was like, it wasn't that great.
Does Star Trek stay with you? No.
It doesn't stay with you.
So why should I give a shit about it?
Because
it
was fun.
I leave the theater and it's over.
Did you like the original Star Trek?
No, I never did either.
Anything about either, Star though. Trek.
Did you like the remake better than regular Star Trek?
I've never seen regular Star Trek.
You've never seen one Star Trek?
Did you have fun watching Star Trek?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
You don't have to be a Star Trek fan. You don't have to suddenly get a red shirt and start doing Live Long and Prosper.
We're not talking about J.J. Abrams here. I thought Super 8.
I'm just trying to get it to him.
I hated Super 8.
Well, no, he has not made any great films.
I agree with you on that one. I actually, they gave Star Wars to him.
And then there's some other, I forgot what other franchise it was, but they're talking about giving it to him too. It's like, why?
Why? Like, what did he do? Like, Lost was cool the first season, completely bombed halfway through the second season, got a bunch of cool shit.
Half of the third season was pretty bad, and it got picked up again.
Lost fan, you're wrong about season two. Season two was the best season.
Really?
Yeah. What?
Season two was the best season. It was.
Oh. No, I agree.
Season two was.
Okay.
Maybe years ago. I liked Lost.
Season three is where it kind of started falling off.
Maybe it was, okay, maybe I was wrong on the year.
Season three is a great season.
So maybe season two is good. All I know is somewhere along the way, it fucking took a huge dive.
Well, J.J. Abrams just he creates a show and he just walks away. Like, Lost is not his thing. Like, yeah, he created it.
Well, a lot of that's Damon Lindelof, and that guy has some issues. Yeah. I have some issues with that guy.
I do too.
I'm going to hold off on completely bashing him to see how horrible he raped World War Z.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he was one of the Prometheus fans, right? He was one of the writers on Prometheus. Oh,
you're a fan of Prometheus?
He did. It was on his top ten.
For you guys listening on the podcast at home, I pointed to the Prometheus poster behind Jason's head.
Prometheus has major issues.
Oh no, it has major issues, but like I like bad movies apparently. Like there's these things I think I've put a lot of like stock on like visual and audio. Like the reason like I always do movies out of 10 and I never give anything a 10. Like I've retrospectively give things 10, but it's like because I always list like, well, I find flaws and stuff, and it's just like plot, you need a certain plot wise, but like there's just some movies like Prometheus where it's just like, yeah, there's so many plot flaws, I admit it, but I love the imagination of it. I love where they're going with it. They might not have stuck the landing, but the performance was beautiful. It's like a Stephen King book. I love Stephen King books, but he fucks up every ending. I mean, that's why he needs Stanley Kubrick to make The Shining a classic, because he changed the ending. And as much as Stephen King hates the fucking ending of Kubrick's Shining, it's better. Sorry.
Yeah, it is better.
It's a pretty perfect ending.
Yeah, it's a great ending.
Huh?
It's a pretty perfect ending.
It is. Oh, it is. No, Stephen King, you saw the remake of this, the TV
miniseries?
The miniseries?
I said
remake. You said Shining.
Oh, did I say Shining? Okay, cool. Yeah, no, The Shining, he did a miniseries in the 90s.
The guy from Wings was in it?
Yeah, because he hated it so much that he thought that, like, all right, we're going to take this, you know, full-budget Hollywood movie by one of the greatest directors of our time, and we're going to remake it because I liked my ending better.
Yeah.
Yeah, guess what? An ABC miniseries is not as good as a Stanley Kubrick film. I could have told you that.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. That. Well, how did it end? He, in the miniseries, in the book, he had this cathartic moment and he saved his family and he blew up the hotel or something, right? Or something like that.
You know, it's been so long. Like,
it was just the worst.
I read that book when I was in like high school and shit. And like, I remember it was right around the time that remake was there. And I almost might want to say I didn't finish the miniseries, but like I remember the book like a little bit. Like I remember instead of they actually added the whole hedge mage because of, are we just having a conversation now? Are we abandoned the podcast completely? No. Jason's off taking a piss.
We're talking about
The Shining.
We're in the topic we're in the topic about horror movies and
okay. How much more interesting to talk about the
No. Like, it's again.
Let's just, can you do me a favor? Let's just wrap up The Evil Dead then.
Let's just rate it
and get this out of the way, because I feel like
here's the thing, though.
Close to an hour.
We're bringing up great points, though. We're talking about the rehashing of horror movies, how they just can't leave it alone, how they'll do something over again and do it differently.
Oh, I guess The Shining is a perfect example. But that's just Stephen King's narcissism right there. Yeah. You know?
Well, no, now they just announced today. They're doing a prequel to The Shining called The Overlook.
I don't even want to talk.
Wait, a movie or a book?
A movie.
Oh, because he actually is releasing soon. That's already written a book of its. It's a sequel.
Okay.
The book is actually what's his name? The kids, Torrance, something like that. But it's him as like an adult. Okay. He still has his Shining powers, so. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to reading that one because, I mean, come on.
No, they're doing like a prequel movie.
No, it's a prequel, yeah.
And Glenn Marzera.
And as soon as he's
to direct.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
As soon as he said that, I'm like, I'm out.
And for you listeners at home, Glenn Marzera is the guy who just got fired from Walking Dead.
Because he destroyed the season finale.
That's the weird thing about what happens, like Walking Dead.
Some of the worst episodes.
Let's focus. We're rating Evil Dead, and we can move on.
If you guys have any final thoughts,
Evil Dead. Again, I'm going to repeat it. Gore, not really any substance. I recently watched the first 20 minutes of the original, and I had more fun watching just the first 20 minutes of that movie. More than I did watching the remake. Not to say that the remake wasn't awful. It was just, I walked out going, it was all
right. Right.
Yeah. So I give it, do I rate it now, I guess? Yeah, I give it 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Yeah. That sounds appropriate.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. A few enjoy a horror film just as an escape. You want to see some, you know, kids get bloodied, get stabbed a bunch of time. Maybe someone loses a limb. I don't know. I'm not going to spoil it for you because apparently we do not do spoilers on this podcast.
Especially for a horror movie.
But yeah, it is a good, fun, just watch it thing. There's like, as down as you two are, I think you could agree with me, is it's not a horrible time at the movies. Oh, it's just like you just wanted something more from such a big title. Yeah. It is a fun horror film, and is on my one scale that I was talking about implementing earlier. I would advise if you're a horror fan, see it in the theater, you know, and if you like it, buy it. But you know, it's I wouldn't go as far as say it's generic, but it's definitely not a classic. It's a fun movie. And so you guys do out of five?
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a 3.5 because I don't know. I like it slight. It's not good enough for is like, you know, like fuck yeah. But like I had enough problems with a couple. Okay, this might not be a spoiler until you see it, but when you see it, defibrillator. That's all I'm gonna say. Had a huge problem with defibrillator.
Yeah, that was really stupid.
All right, go.
Yeah, I mean, same thing. Gore. Gore is what this movie has going for it. And
yeah.
Outside of that, not really much. It's not terrible, but it's not great. That's all I really want to say. So I'll give it a 2.5 out of 5.
All right, right in the middle. Mm-hmm. All right, so slightly better. All right, so now do we want
to
go
Walking Dead?
Walking Dead. All right, so let's talk about Walking Dead.
Oh, I got a lot to talk about.
All right, you get started. I want to pull up a visual cue of people. Are people actually watching?
I don't know if it's still
on
a loop.
Apparently, it's on a loop. They said something was wrong with it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to pull it out just to show you what I'm talking about. So you go ahead.
Okay. Walking Dead.
So we're getting into spoilers if you haven't finished.
We're straight talking.
If you haven't
finished
season 3.
If you haven't watched season 3, you don't deserve to, like, I don't know. You need to watch.
Please don't talk spoilers from the graphic novel, though.
Yeah.
Because I do want to catch up on the graphic novel.
Dude, but I have to.
Lately, I've been really wanting to catch up on the graphic novel, so please don't
spoil
it.
You let me the first three
volumes,
didn't you?
Really? Oh, man.
No, you let me the Walking Dead comics, and that's why I got
to. But how can I not?
Please,
dude, I have it's just one page. Just one page is a huge spoiler, but it's the only way I can tell you why I was so disappointed.
Okay. Before you get into this, I want the audience. Honestly, is not gonna know this.
Is it about a character?
I want
dying
you to know
a character definitely does die.
Okay, I already heard about a major character that didn't die in the season that does die.
Oh no, no, it's someone who's already dead prior to this moment.
Oh okay,
I think I know who.
Who what?
About.
Who's already dead on the TV show? Not the book. He lived on longer in the book.
No, no, who's dead in the book? Who
are you talking about? Glenn?
Huh? No, I'm talking about Laurie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I really want to read it. Like, I want good Walking Dead.
It is, like, such an important...
Oh, Lori, yeah. Well, Lori, you know that Lori dies in the comics.
Everyone dies.
No.
I hadn't gotten to the
you
point
know she
where Lori
died.
Died.
Oh, okay. No. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sorry I'm spoiling
but
this,
you lent
but...
me that version of the comic. That
I am sorry, but this fucking one panel here, and for you guys listening at home, I'm holding up the panel from Walking Dead, is the end of the prison right here in the graphic novel, where is a full page... of Lori getting shot through the stomach and it's hitting her baby in her arms. That right there was a fucking period on the whole story arc of Walking Dead. That right there, period, ended, new plot line. That was fucking epic. That was why everyone, when they saw the prison, was like, holy shit, things are going to get real. The prison's there. Oh my God, this is so cool. I don't know if AMC told them, like, we're not going to get a girl getting shot through the stomach and shooting a baby. I don't know, but that right there changed everything for me. And it was just like, it was just such a raw moment. Such like, I mean, all the stuff about Rick going crazy, that was in the comic book after that. That was because he saw that. That was like, this whole prison battle was just this huge massacre of, you know, bullets flying everywhere, major characters getting killed. It was this moment, and
they turned it into a joke.
Dude, I mean, really, like, I know they didn't kill the governor and the governor's gonna come back, because but if they like do the not if the governor doesn't get an army and come back and do something for real, like I don't know what to even fucking say. But yeah, it's just like
that was incredibly like anticlimactic. That last
like compared to where it was in the comic, and I know like in the comic they did it so perfect where they're in the prison for a while. They start building crops. They just, you know, really take over the prison, make it nice, and then they have some problem with Woodbury, which goes nowhere close to the way it does in the TV show. And I was like, fine, like, okay, you want to like. Yeah.
I definitely like that they're going a different route with the show. Where
yeah, I'm fine with it because it's good for me to be surprised. Yeah. But it's just like when you...
It's not very good.
But when you don't give me like those moments, like there's no moments like that I can show you where like there's... In the comic, the reason I am so loyal to the comic is there's these moments where it's like... spoiler, way down that line, Glenn dies. Like, I never...
I knew that too. I'm sorry.
But it's way... I mean, I'm sorry. That's like... That's newer comic book shit. But I really, like... I never knew how much I liked him until, like, that scene. And it's just, like, one of those things where it's, like, I'm reading. It's, like... Oh my God. Like I started almost getting teary and I was like, oh shit. I didn't realize I like Glenn so much, you know? And it's like, the comic is beautiful for that. AMC is giving them so much room to go with the violence and stuff. The fact that they're shying away from it is just making me angry. It's making me fucking angry. It's just like, you have amazing source material. You have all these amazing stories. Why are you guys doing little...
But you know whose fault that is?
AMC?
No, Glenn Mazzaro's fault. Okay. That's why he got fired.
No, because... who's firing him? Because it's a third showrunner in three seasons.
I even want to go back, like...
I hated every episode he was a part of.
I even want to go back. Frank Darabont is not that great. He is not that great.
I love Shawshank. Shawshank's a beautiful... That's like top 30 movies of my all time.
And I love The Mist, but he is not great. Like, the first season, thinking back on it, it's just not that good.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean...
Well, I hate the CDC part, and I hate the Vatos. I hate that, but...
I think that's not a lot. It's only, let's like, be honest. I mean, I think that's what maybe he was leaving. He was like, what the fuck is going on with this show? I mean, that's my assumption.
No, the reason... the reason Darabont left was Mad Men.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Mad Men... got a huge budget for their suits.
Oh, yeah?
And could not pay them the money, partially what he wanted to continue with the series.
Yeah.
Because based on the ratings, he thought that they should get a bigger budget. But it was also partially the budget he wanted for the show. So it was just like, oh, what, really? And it's just like, fuck it.
It's funny, because now Mad Men, nobody gives a shit about it anymore, which is sad, because it's a great show. But
well, has it gone anywhere?
That's not,
exactly.
Just like an
It was a great show.
I've only seen the first season, but did you see the season premiere?
Like, no, I've only seen the first five episodes, but I've heard enough about it to know that it goes nowhere.
It's not like it goes nowhere. I mean, it's a character-driven show. There's nowhere else to go but these characters. But I mean, like, it's okay. We'll get into that. We're not talking about that.
No, we're done with Evil Dead. We covered. We can talk about anything as long as it's on top about movies and television.
But yeah, I mean, Walking Dead, I don't know. I finally got around to seeing the last few episodes this week. And they had a lot of good moments. Like,
There's good moments. Like, that, I still like watching
when, Merle died.
Did you like
it? I love that scene.
When Merle died and, like, when
did you guys like Daryl that episode? Yeah.
The cool thing about Merle and Daryl, they were in the comics. Apparently, they're actually getting added.
Oh, are they?
But,
yeah.
But, because they are so loved down there. But, like, that scene was... a good scene. I mean, like, it was a great... I thought that they could have done a little bit more before they did that with them as brothers again, but you know, it was a great scene.
It was kind of
like, you know, it was like I could see it happening from season one when they first introduced, you know, like Michael Rooker was one of the biggest names on the show, so it's like they're going to do something with him, and when he wasn't back for a while, it's like, you know, he's
I mean,
probably going to do something where he's going to be a bad guy, and he's going to redeem himself. Yeah. And he did. Spoilers alert.
Like, from the get-go, I mean, from the beginning, he was, like, terrible character. I thought he was a terrible addition of a character. Like,
right. Just
ridiculously over-the-top racist. But yeah. I don't know. Like, the last few episodes, I was definitely coming around, and then they got rid of him. Like, I'm pissed, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like,
well, that's what they seem to do.
I am
is
happy
they give you.
I was happy about that.
Oh, Andrew is a waste, too. Spoiler alert, she's alive in the comics.
You know, which
still.
Is terrible because she's one of the best characters in the comics.
She's still alive in the comic because she's a great character in the comic.
Yeah.
They kill her off on the show is because they didn't know what to fucking do with her on the
exactly,
show.
Exactly. That's what I was telling Jason the other day. I was like, they wrote themselves into a corner with her to like, what the fuck do we do with her now?
We
gotta kill her, yeah. And she could have been a great character, I agree. And she just became like the most hated character in the series and it was sad. It was messed up.
You think that's what they're doing? You think they're watching like Twitter or something like
no,
that.
No, they
like,
do. What
the
do you
next
think
person, like the next person we kill off.
She
is...
was getting a lot of bad like.
But you she know, was that... a horribly written character.
Apparently, I mean, this is one of the rumors why they.
I
like,
think a part
Rob
of it
Kirkman
is the actress.
Was...
I think a part of it is the actress. To be honest, I mean, yeah, maybe her material's not that great, but she has this face which. She's always a fucking antagonist. She's always like.
I agree. The casting was a bad
character.
I agree that the casting was bad. It was the actor. They made the character.
And whose fault is that? Frank fucking Darabont.
Actually, no. But if you watch The Mist, like half the people from the first season were in The Mist.
Yeah, exactly.
So you
have
Andrea, worst character.
That's Frank Darabont.
Dale, who was awesome in the comics, who was terrible in the show. Like,
but no.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know where.
Okay, but. As far as we're talking about,
take a pull out of the bottle, man.
Oh, okay.
Andrea wrote writing her into a corner, like writing themselves to a corner. They just
I don't
her
think
off.
They wrote herself into a corner.
I believe they did. I believe like, well, you know what? This character, and again, here's my. This is me assuming creating a scenario.
Right.
Glenn Mazzaro was like, oh, Glenn Mazzaro was the guy that said, you know what? Everybody hates these characters. Let's kill them off. Rob Kirkman's like. Whoa, what the hold up a second. You know, let's save these characters. Let's do something awesome with them.
Yeah.
And I think this is why they clashed and Glenn
I think Kirkman though, I mean, I think Kirkman is just like really, happy to see new stuff happening with his characters.
Don't
you
think
know?
He has full write off though?
He like, does. He moved to LA beginning of season two just to oversee this shit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But I mean I feel like he's more in control of it now.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're in good hands, especially because the showrunner now wrote that Merle episode, which I loved, which was the best episode of the season. So, I mean...
I'm hoping. Well, that's
that
my
guy
thing.
Wrote amazing episodes. Right. Just that he wrote the one with the clear where he comes...
Oh!
Yeah, he wrote clear. So, like... Clear. When he meets up with the guy from the first season
I
again.
Actually,
I forget
that
actor's
episode.
Name, but that actor's amazing.
Lenny
yeah,
James
yeah.
or something?
Yeah, that guy, I love that
I
guy from
good,
Snatch.
Yeah, that episode is fantastic.
It is not. It is a terrible episode.
No.
It just comes from, I mean. It's,
that's a writing episode.
Not a bad episode in itself, but it makes no sense that they just, it was just so random how they just took three characters and just took them out
you
of
know
the
what
story.
You know, I'm pretty sure what that was, though, is they've been, like I heard, they've been trying to get him back, you know,
for a while.
Figured out, but he's a good actor.
Oh, he's great.
He is a very busy working actor because I mean
yeah,
he pulls it off.
There's some new show coming out and he's on it.
Yeah,
so.
But like you know, I'm sorry, I gotta keep spoiling the comics, but his character comes back in the comic right after the prison and stuff like that, and like that's kind of I think what they might be setting up is like eventually I hoping that character comes back to the TV show because he is a decent character. He's a broken man. His son's dead kind of thing, but there's a lot of depth to his character.
Yeah.
And I think actually that's some of the problems I'm having with Walking Dead is I don't think that they gave some of these characters as much depth as, you know, in the comics where like, I actually like what they're doing with Carl. They're progressing his storyline a lot faster than,
but I mean,
like, say season two, I didn't like Carl, but like
Carl was one of the worst things about season two.
Yeah,
and like this, and they just said, you know what? He looks older, so he looks a lot cooler. First of all, and make him wear that hat the whole time. But like the entire season, it's like let's not have him say anything, and then he'll come off as being cool. No, he's just cause he's not talking.
Yeah,
and in the final episode, he finally like starts making decisions, makes a stupid decision, but at least.
So you thought that was a stupid decision?
He makes a very stupid. I mean.
It was a rash decision. I don't know if it's stupid.
He did a safe decision.
He
does a fantastic job explaining himself, and I'm like, that's why I'm
he
like,
did
okay,
a safe.
It's all right.
He did a safe decision. I don't know if it's a stupid decision. He's a fucking 13, 14 year old kid or something like that in a zombie apocalypse where people are getting shot.
Yeah.
And a guy comes up there. Motherfucker, all he had to do was drop that gun.
Yeah.
Just drop the gun. And he was trying to hand it over, trying to hand it over. You know what? Drop the fucking gun. I would almost guarantee if this was real reality and that guy dropped his gun, that kid would still be alive. Motherfucker was coming closer to him trying to hand that gun. Dude, I'm sorry. Tension's high. Adrenaline's rushing through your veins. Guy's trying to hand it to you.
You know what? I agree with him. It's really hard to think. Because in that moment, what would you do?
I'm talking about you, 13 years old. What would you do?
You would fucking shoot the guy.
You're scared shitless. You don't want to.
You don't
want to
take that chance.
Like I said, he did a great job justifying himself to Rick.
When you're young,
that's why I'm not gonna look down upon his decision that he made.
Right.
No.
He gave great reason.
I think it's easier to make decisions like that when you're 13 because they don't weigh on you as much. You're only 13.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's why
it was a shitty thing to do.
It was a shitty thing to do, but he did it. And
you could definitely justify it, but it's a shitty thing to do.
But when he fucking told Rick. Yeah, well, he did it, and he put him in his place. It was like, oh my god, this fucking kid is making sense. You're right.
Well, yeah, well, Rick's lost it this season, so yeah.
So pretty much, what I just gathered for the next five minutes,
you guys are way more into Walking Dead than you were than Evil Dead.
Yeah,
you guys are perked up.
I love.
You like took caffeine.
I mean,
pills.
I like hate. You know, there's things I hate about.
The thing
Dead.
I liked about theme of this season though for Evil Dead was the again the Murrow episode, the speech that he gives them. When they're sitting down outside, he says, you know what? Like, I'm not the leader anymore. This is a dictatorship.
Right.
The reason why we're alive is because we're good people. We need to be good because that's the way we're going to survive. And I think that was the meaning of the whole entire season. You know, it's not about zombies anymore. It's about, you know, being good, being making the right decisions, being a good person. And that's what I loved about it. And that meaning stuck with me throughout.
No, look, there's so much I like about the season. Coming from the source material, which, like, I love. I mean, I legitimately love. I own them all. It's like, it's just so hard to see where it's just, like, these moments that I love so much. And it's just like, all right, we're doing something different. I love being surprised by it. But when it, like, that's why I had to show you, I'm sorry, Lori, getting shot there. It's such an epic moment. It is... this perfectly just like, I mean, it's a tragedy. I mean, that's why you have people die is it's such a, you know, it's such a permanent, it's like, you can't turn back from this whole world, the hope of the whole group was that baby. And that was his wife holding it. You know, I mean, it was just like, this is the future of civilization. And in one bullet, it's all gone for you. Where do you go from there? And it was the perfect setup for the rest of the series for where it is now. And I mean, that was years ago. I mean, that's 13 graphic novels ago. So, I mean, it's like you had that setup and it was just like, and then you gave us that finale where I thought it was pretty cool that, you know, Governor lost his shit and just mowed down his thing, but that's anticlimactic comparison.
That was the high point of the.
Yeah, but it was like compared to what they did in the comic, that was just like, and the governor's a little bitch, you know, like as opposed to him coming with tanks in the fucking comic and just like kill every motherfucking last one of these guys. I mean, there's no comparison. It's like. For a season finale, you wanted some kind of like, you want some kind of something we would be talking about. And instead I'm talking about it in a negative way where it's like, you gave me nothing. It's like you set it up for another season, but you didn't give like, obviously they have stuff for another season. Cause the comic's still going issue to issue.
Yeah. That's a big reason why I don't read the comics anymore.
Yeah. Huh?
Cause like from the onset, the very first graphic novel, he says.
That's the newest issue.
He says, like, you know, this is a story I never wanted to fucking end. Yeah. Like, really? Like, I like stories that have endings.
Well, no, but the thing is...
Like, I'm going to be reading this thing, forever.
But the thing is, at some point, like, it's pretty obvious, you know, Rick's still alive in the comic, but the story is going to take over with, you know, Carl someday. I mean, you can kind of tell that's the way it's going. He wants to do this story. And I mean, like, the way he wrote it in issue one is perfect, where it's just like, I love horror films, but this is a comic about what happens like after this over. And, like, he's going places where, you know, no one gives them chances to go before. You know, it's just like, all right, credits. It's like, no, we have enough credits. Like, let's see where you can take it. Because after a while, I mean, you can either go the World War Z route where, you know, spoiler, the movie has nothing to do with the book. but in the book, there is a mass taking back of Earth from the zombies. At the end, sorry, I'm actually thinking I'm starting to get a little tipsy. But but there are still zombies, and it's still a problem in the book, and there could be a, you know, a resurgence the other way anytime. But, like, that's one way that things can go. The way that Walking Dead is so many people are dead, and there are survivors, but it is so fucking spread out and shit like that. I mean, who knows where this goes? And that's why I enjoy reading issue to issue. It's just like, what's going to happen next? Like, what's going to happen next? And it's like, you know, I like where it is now. It, like, took me a while. Like, there was this whole time that Rick's crazy after the prison, and they're meeting some new people. They're introducing new characters, find new people here, new people there, different plot lines. Where it is now, fucking, they meet this guy Negan. Just you wait, man, because everything gets fucking pretty badass once you find Negan. He's, like, way better character than the governor. He's a way better villain than the governor, man. The guy's fun.
Have you guys ever played a walk-in the video game?
I actually don't own a video game system, okay, as opposed to those. That's my brother's.
You have an iPhone?
My roommate, huh?
It's on, or iPad or iPhone or something.
Is it really?
Like an iPad or...
He bought the first chapter, and I played that, and I actually want to play the rest of it, because it was actually kind of cool.
That's good.
But,
it's very great. That's a great
Again, game. I don't own a system, so I wasn't just about to buy it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, it was, like, really fast. I beat in like 3 hours or something.
Each episode was like 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, and it was just, but it was like watching a movie. There's not a lot of.
Yeah, it's not much of a game. It's more of like an interactive novel. But
I have to say though, have you seen
the big thing on
the previews for the new Daryl Walking Dead game? Doesn't look like it has the best graphics.
It got dreadful reviews.
Yeah,
dreadful. Well, those Activision people did Call of Duty, and like,
oh, is that Activision?
Supposedly they took a year to make the game. So instead of them just cashing in on the Walking Dead name.
And it was like, oh, people like that Daryl character. Let's just...
Yeah, it's Daryl and Merle. They're both in it. Yeah. They both did the voice acting, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm never touching that game.
I heard it's terrible.
All right, so that was Walking Dead's review. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about? Any movies you've seen?
Are we doing what we watched?
I haven't seen anything.
There's a couple movies I did watch the last week I would like to bring up.
Sure thing.
Have you guys seen the remake of Funny Games?
I have.
Yes.
I want to talk about that just because Jim, who was supposed to be here tonight, he apparently didn't get out of work. But I borrowed that from him over a year ago, and it was like, oh, I honestly never heard of it before. So he was like, oh, it's a good movie. Borrow it. Whatever. It's the American version. Apparently there was a foreign version or something.
Yeah. It's pretty, this is same pretty director. Similar. Yeah.
Same director?
Yeah. Michael Haneke.
Oh, that's even more pointless. No, I'm sorry. Like, I have no problems reading subtitles. The only problem is a lot of times I'm doing shit when I'm watching movies. So that's the only reason I won't watch a foreign film, is because it's hard to do something and read subtitles. But, that movie... I was not a fan of. I know I'm probably, 8 years late on that one. I was not a fan of it. I thought there wasn't enough there. Didn't move fast. I don't know if you remember enough of that. It was just like...
I mean, it's a movie that just makes you feel like a piece of shit,
yeah,
I guess.
It does it on purpose, yeah. And,
with the fourth wall had no purpose exactly. for anything?
I hate movies that break the fourth wall. I agree.
But it was for nothing. For a second when he did the rewind... I thought that it was going to go somewhere. It's like, oh, is this about to take a turn? They got some kind of powers? No.
This is what they show it to you.
I mean, it's a point movie. He's just fucking with you.
Yeah, he's fucking with you. That's really what it is. Yeah.
Saying, oh, so he's just like, haha, I got an hour and a half of your time. Fuck you, director.
Hey, this is what you want. This is what you're hoping for that's going to happen. Like, these characters are going to get out of the situation.
Yeah.
No,
what
is he?
You're not going to get
what
that.
What is Michael Haneke? German?
I don't know.
He's just a European dickhead who thinks Americans love watching this type of shit, and he points it out to you. Like, you like watching this. You don't have to get out of it,
but you have to have some kind of fucking like story arc. You have to have a story arc. And just instead, it's like, and these people are getting fucked with, and
they fucking die and they get killed. Yeah, sorry, that's what happens.
As much as I like, Tim Roth and fucking Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction and shit like that.
I like that though. You know,
his character was useless.
I actually did like that. He was like a pansy of a.
No, I agree. I like it too. I like where the movie went. I like that there were no heroes. That there was nothing. Yeah. That this is it. This is what
you
get.
I just felt like through the whole thing, it was just like, I mean, come on, like do something. I mean, it's just like.
No, because
so that was one movie I watched.
I like the reality of that the fact that in real life, like when you're, it's a family, there are no fucking heroes. You either survive it, they leave you alone, and they walk away, or you get your fucking family murdered, and that's what happened. The family gets
murdered. All right, spoiler alert for this movie that was years ago, and don't watch it anymore. I don't care if I fucking spoil this for you, but. About halfway through the movie, the kid got shot. Yeah. You know what? After that, I don't know if I would be really like. You know, my kid is shot in front of me. I'm not sure if I'm as happy about my well-being. I think I might start taking chances.
No, it's the thing. Yeah. Like, you don't. You either do that or you become a fucking. You become even worse, and you're like, I'm fucked. Like, I'm gonna die.
And this is like the worst. Like, it's the worst feeling because
it is.
You like have Naomi Watts going through this whole ordeal, and it ends with them just nonchalantly pushing her off the boat, and that's the end of her character. Yeah. It's so fucked up.
No, I agree. And
it's so messed up.
Remember how I told you, like, there's movies that make you mad, and once they make you mad, you're done with them. And it made you mad. It made you mad, and you were done.
About, like, once, fucking 10 million. Exactly. When she was asking for eggs, I was mad. Really? I mean, come on.
Once you're done, once a movie makes you mad, you're done with it. Yeah. I agree with you, because I'm very unforgiving. Once it makes me mad, like, I'm never going to like that movie.
That's Cabin true. In the Woods. True.
Anyway. I knew... Once the kid died, I knew where that movie was going.
Yeah.
And I accepted it for what it was.
I knew, like, where they were going. It was like, okay, they're killing. Like, what was that movie that had fucking Aerosmith guy's daughter in?
Yeah, The Strangers.
The Strangers.
Which was a really effective horror movie, but then
survived at the end. So even then, they gave you some hope.
She did it?
Yeah, she was alive at the end.
She
grabbed the kid at the end, and she was screaming, because she was covered in blood, and she was screaming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I just remember this.
No.
I mean, the ending of that pissed me off, but I did think Strangers was...
It was a good movie.
I thought it was a very thrilling movie.
I don't know. That was a long time ago. I couldn't even remember.
It definitely dragged on too long.
But I
like movies that have the guts to go that way. Like, and Funny Games did it, but mostly because the director was being an asshole to the audience. He was being
an asshole to audiences.
I don't think anybody would say, hey, I enjoyed Funny Games. Like, you can't enjoy.
No, it was a horrible. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So you said you enjoyed something, though. You kind of cut yourself off.
White Rabbit? He directed White Rabbit, too. You should see that one.
I heard that was really good. Yeah. And then he did the Old People movie this year.
Amore. Oh, he did Amore?
Yeah.
I saw the previews for that, and I'm sorry. I don't care how many, like, Academy Awards. Like, it's just Best Picture.
It's about
Best
Old People
Foreign
being
Picture
old.
It's
about
Old People. It's just like I saw that.
Are you guys
going to
watch that movie?
I want to see it. I really want to see it.
Okay, I won't ruin it for you. My fucking dad ruined it for me.
I don't know.
Probably say fucking
let
dad.
Me guess they die.
My dad ruined it for me.
They're old people. They probably die.
Well, he mentions one character.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch that movie.
But, yeah. What else? I have no desire to see him more. That movie just looks like something. No. The other movie I saw was, I don't know, is that on DVD or not, or Blu-ray, whatever you watch, but Killing Them Softly.
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet. I want to see that.
I was very disappointed in it. I don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah.
It's a very dialogue-driven movie, and I actually read, like, reviews on Rotten Tomatoes where it's just, like, amazing, witty dialogue. No, it was dialogue that went fucking nowhere, where it's just, like, a lot of, like... Like Jane Gandolfini just talking drunk to Brad Pitt in a hotel room, like, Yeah,
that's only one small section of the film.
Yeah. I know, dude. That's the scene where talking about parts of that movie that pisses me
Gandalf
off.
Gandolfini comes into that movie and he ruins it.
Huh? I'm not spoiling. So did you saw the movie?
I actually liked a lot of it, but yeah, when Gandolfini comes in, I feel like the movie goes down.
It definitely gets a speed bump.
All of that political bullshit was totally unnecessary.
Oh, you mean all the Obama clips?
Obama and Bush in the background, yeah. And then like
they were trying to do some
Brad
kind of
Pitt's like
stuff.
Final monologue.
Yeah,
terrible, I thought, but I really liked like the two criminals who do it. I really liked the conversations they had. Yeah. I really enjoyed the parts where Brad Pitt was in the car with Richard Jenkins talking, yeah. Like the guy who hired
him. That was probably my least favorite Richard. I love Richard Jenkins.
He was so good in that though.
Like I'm like, he was so underutilized. I think maybe that's why, like, he isn't out of a car in the whole movie. He's just like the people I represent.
Yeah. He's like out of his element trying to like, hire
it's
this like, guy
well,
to
it's
do
not
this crazy
a person,
shit.
It's a committee. It's like, I don't know. I was just so disappointed about that movie. It was just one of those movies where it's just like, I thought it was going to be so much more. And it was just like with the ensemble cast where it's just like, oh, Ray Liotta. Well, I guess that's over with. All right. Well, how about, it's just like, I thought I would like the movie so much better. And maybe it was just a disappointment because I thought it was like the way I read it on Rotten Tomatoes. It didn't get like a great reviews on Rotten Tomato.
It got actually a lot of negative.
Yeah, but it was like, it was better critics than it was,
users.
Yeah.
Oh no, yeah, that's I heard people hated that movie.
Yeah, but the critics were all like, the ones who liked it were just like, I like a good horror. I mean, not horror. I like a good crime drama with a lot more character development than action. Like, I'm fine with that stuff. I don't know. I did not like that movie. It was one of those movies where it's just kind of like by the end, it's just like, just get this fucking over with. Someone shoot this guy,
I just really enjoyed a lot of the conversations.
Really?
Yeah.
I really
got a lot out of that, but everything with all that political allegory that they're trying to do with it was just stupid.
It was. I guess there was a couple cool scenes, but there was a lot of misses.
Yeah. Okay.
On that. I don't know. That was the other movie I can remember off the top of my head that I just saw. I saw that Monday.
Anything else?
I just did two. What do you guys got?
I'm just saying.
Well, I see movies, but that's for the next podcast.
What was the next movie? What's the next podcast?
Place Beyond the Pines and
with
Ryan Gosling and Bradley Cooper.
I haven't seen previous.
I don't want to get into it because I'm not going to stop.
All
right. We have this movie homework segment.
Right.
Where we give each other movies. So, like, that's. Well, no, you haven't even seen that.
I do listen. I swear to God, I do listen to your podcast. Yeah, listen to the last podcast.
You keep giving me shit for the iTunes thing.
Dude,
because
that's what I
listen
to.
And I've been looking into it. Like I know right away because I like have this program on my phone.
Right.
So whenever I upload the podcast, I go and check and see if
you
it's on there.
You guys need to get on Stitcher too.
It hasn't gone. Okay.
Stitcher.
I need to get us onto more things. But I use Internet Archive.
No, but listen, because the last time you were doing that Marilyn Monroe movie or something, was a homework.
Anthony got him to see that. But yeah, that's one of the movies I saw was the homework he gave me. But I want to talk about that.
So that's for the next one.
Yeah. I saw this tsunami movie called Witness Disasters in Japan. There's these people who did this movie called 102 Minutes That Changed America. And it was, it was in the 9/11 event, but it was stitched together by people who were actually there filming.
Oh, wow.
It's an incredible movie.
That sounds depressing as shit.
Well, it's just a really fascinating movie.
Yeah.
And this one is the same idea, but it's centered around the tsunami earthquake that happened not so long ago in Japan. But it's super short. It's only like 45 minutes. It's like a TV special. So I saw that. A lot of crazy tsunami.
Is that what we're seeing?
There's a lot of good tsunami scenes. If you like seeing tsunami take over towns, it's really messed up. But other than that, no, I didn't get much out of it.
It's not compelling, but it's very interesting because of the footage that's in it.
Yeah, it's not very, with the 9/11 stuff, that's compelling because that's just some crazy shit that happened. This is just, a natural disaster. And
I haven't been on the show in a while, so I guess I could bring up a lot of stuff I have seen that I actually did like.
Yeah.
But we're going to be on documentaries. Have you seen, what's the abbreviation? It's TPB... A F K. The Pirates Bay Away From Keyboard. No. That's the abbreviation. It's actually, I mean, it's, if you go to Pirates Bay, it's very easy to find. It's not like, you know, a torrent thing. It's like the last words of the whole fucking documentary is share this movie. Mm-hmm. But it's Pirates Bay, for people who don't know, is the most resilient torrent site of all time.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But pretty much it was beer. they got in some law trouble a couple of years back there, and I give them a lot of credit because they do not really do it like from their side. It's pretty objective, where it's just like cameras following around through the court trials and like the different people who are involved and following around. And it's, if you're interested in the future of like the computer, internet, all that shit.
Yeah.
It's worth watching because it's like, it's these are a bunch of young kids who figured out, oh, yeah, we can just make this site pretty cheap. We just throw up some servers and all that stuff. And it just goes to this point where just like pretty smart little hacker guys to all of a sudden they're taking on the MPA and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, their lives and shit, just cameras following around. It's pretty wrong. I mean, like straight down to like, one guy drunk talking shit about one of the other guys who started about being a racist and stuff like that at a bar drunk. You know, I mean, it's like, it's just, as far as like America loves reality TV, it seems a lot more reality than reality TV. It's like, oh, yeah, these kids who are being sued by like every country that has copyright laws. And it's like, this is what they're doing. And it's like, again, it's not like from a point where, you know, they're like, oh, Pirates Bay is right, you know, download everything. It's just like, well, this is what happens when you start a big torrent site and then the countries come after you and sue you. So, yeah, I definitely recommend that one. It is free everywhere. They take donations. So if you want to help support them and their legal causes, that's an option. Yeah, the other documentary I just saw recently was The Imposter.
Yeah, we saw that.
We did like a movie marathon and...
Yeah.
When that was the last movie we saw.
You guys don't sound impressed with it.
Oh, no. Amazing. No, yeah, I thought it was amazing.
I loved
it,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was bringing it up as a recommendation. You guys,
it's
like,
a crazy story.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I've actually been wanting to see it, watch it again. Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy that a lot just because, like, once he gets to America and there's like, they start implying, it's like, well, there's something weird with this film. It's like, wait, where's going this going? Because, I mean, from the preview, it looked like they were, you know, oh, it's just a straight, this guy's fucking with his family. And then, well, there's a lot more to the story. And they leave it very ambiguous where it can just be like, well, what really did happen? We don't have the answers.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I enjoyed that one because especially I just love the real life, what happened. You know, that's a true story. Yeah. I mean, there's no way around it. That happened. And we may never know what really, really did happen to that original kid. And, you know, that guy, I can't believe he got away with the shit he did.
Yeah. It becomes kind of surreal, right?
Yeah, like, it's just like this shit really happened.
It's insane, I mean, like, where the story goes. Yeah. I really liked when they, like, combine, like, what are they called? When you, like, film something again.
Oh, like they...
Reenactments?
Reenactments. I love how they'll have those segments and that they'll, like, intercut the dialogue. Like the guy's narrating, and
oh, as he's talking, kind of the guy saying it,
the actor there, like, awesome.
Yeah, I was watching that with like my girlfriend, and I just remember I just kept turning to it. It was just like beginning, it was just like when she met him in Spain at the airport. It's like, something's weird about this, because don't you think the mother? It says something about like, it's like there's something wrong. Like the sister's going. There's like, there's more to this, and I had no idea about the rest of the plot. And it was just like, oh, yeah, there's something fucking going on there. And I mean, spoiler alert, there's no spoiler. It leaves it pretty open-ended for your ideas of what could have happened. But I love that documentary. That was just like, that was a lot of whodunit kind of like shit there, you know, good clue action.
Anything else?
What? Am I getting interviewed now? Come on, no, you guys, nothing.
Well, I mean, we usually like have one person go, and then they empty out, and then we move to the next person.
Like, I haven't been on this since like February. So what other movies have I watched?
Yesterday I watched, I finally got around to watching End of Watch.
End of Watch?
Which, Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Pena.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy Caps.
Was that good?
It's really good. It was actually really, really? Good. Yeah. Like, it was cool. They like this whole like handheld aesthetic to it, but I don't know. The relationship between them is really great. I don't know. To me, it felt like a really honest, genuine look at like the lives of like the police officers who work in these crazy ass neighborhoods. So I don't know.
I'll check it out.
I enjoyed it a lot. It was really good.
Yeah, yeah, I did too. No, I was really surprised by that movie. I really was. I thought I was expecting another like Training Day or like. I'm not a big fan of David Ayer's.
So
this one was really good. I mean, there were a lot of genuine moments, just a lot of, it looks like you're watching somebody record like home video, like, you know, like you're at like the wedding scenes, just they're talking, they're having a good time. It was kind of like watching, you ever seen The Deer Hunter with, it was kind of like watching the wedding scenes at Deer Hunter. It was really genuine. And like, these are just two friends that are talking and sharing their stories with each other. And it was really good, 'cause they made that connection all the much more realistic, and when things did happen, it was intense and
check it out, it's really good.
Well, that's the problem I have with movies like that, is like, until I hear someone say something about it, it's like, oh, you know, I'll just hold off on that until it comes.
He told me probably like 2 months ago.
I saw it on New Year's Eve.
I guess that's why I gotta listen to podcasts like this, you know. Right on. All right. Any other movies? Oh, you know what? You know what one I just watched while setting up these microphones? So it might be not, you know, in full disclosure, I was setting up microphones at the time, so I wasn't giving my full attention, but there's a new Iron Man cartoon. It was like Iron Man versus...
It's like an anime, right?
Yeah, it's anime. Anime show? Yeah. It's anime versus Iron Man versus the Technobots or something, something like that. You'll find it. Just start typing in Iron Man and Techno something will come up.
Where are they typing this at?
Google. Come on, man. Like,
really?
If you can find a podcast on the internet, you can find shit on the internet.
I thought you were referring to some other site.
Oh, no. I mean, no. If you type into Google, like, you know, torrent sites don't get really good.
When you type in this, people are aware that they're just typing in a search bar.
No, you search it on IMDb first to find out that Norman Reedus plays Punisher in it.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, no, that's true. I really actually like a lot of the animated comic book movies that have been coming out lately. That one, not so much.
Yeah,
and that's why I had to say that I was sitting on mics at the time, so I might have missed some of the subtle nuances of it, but a lot of that was just drawn out bullshit. It took a lot of time to get to the actual, like, you know, this is what's going on. It was way too much anime and not a much cool anime.
Have you been watching the recent Batman ones, like Year One and
I really love what they did with the
Strikes Back.
The Dark Knight, was it Dark Knight Returns?
Yeah.
Did they do Strike Against yet or no?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I know that the two parts of that have come out.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't watched that, but that's worth watching.
Well, this they pretty much the Frank Miller comics were the Dark Knight Returns and the Dark Knight Strikes Again. Yeah. Dark Knight Returns is the one that they just did, and they split into two parts, parts one and two.
Yeah.
Part two in the comic is what the comic is, and so therefore you watch it just to have the basis. Part one, you'll probably be like, you're not going to regret it, but part two is a fucking amazing story. It's worth it just to see Batman kick the shit out of Superman in it. There's that scene. But no, it's great. You get to see there's a Conan O'Brien and Andy Richter play the voices of some talk show hosts in it. That's kind of cool. But no, that's a good one. I definitely recommend part two, but you have to watch part one to get to it. Part two is just like, I love the comic. Frank Miller, say what you will about him, he shouldn't touch movies. But did you see The Spirit?
He only did one.
Well, he also, like, no, like, I had this conversation earlier today, actually, about RoboCop 3. He wrote the screenplay for RoboCop 3. RoboCop 3 is a pile of shit. But he's a great comic book writer, you know? So
I've only read, like, his SimCity stuff, so.
Sin City's great. I can't wait for the new one. But yeah, he's a great comic book writer. I don't think he understands the subtle nuances of movies, which a lot of comic book writers don't. Like I've heard like Todd McFarlane, they've been the movies, like studios have been trying to get him to do a new Spawn, but he will not write off on it. He directed the Spawn movie that they did the first time or something like that. And he still wants a huge part of, I mean, he created Spawn, he drew Spawn, he wrote it, you know. He's allowed to do what the fuck he wants with it, but the movie Spawn is a horrible pile of shit. So, and he wants to direct the next one, and it's just like, really, you already did one pile of shit that failed miserably. You think studios want to...
He directed the original?
I don't know if he... I'm pretty sure... he either produced it and... I know for a fact he wrote the screenplay, and I'm pretty 99% sure he was executive producer of it.
Yeah.
I think he directed it, but... Like, I know for a fact that, I mean, he started, was that Image Comics specifically for, like, he was just like, I'm making my own comic book company and Spawn's my first title. He's a very egotistical, he's a douche. Of everything I've seen of him in interviews, he's a douchebag. Whatever, no one at Image is going to listen to this, and I'm not probably burning any bridges, but this could come back to haunt me if I'm ever famous. But yeah, Tom McFarlane's a douchebag.
No, I think he didn't direct it right.
Huh?
He didn't direct it right.
Oh.
No, I think that's why maybe he wants to, because it was
a joke. Maybe it was okay, then I don't know. It's the opposite. Oh, I thought, for some reason, did he release...
No, the guy who directed it, that's the only big movie he directed. Then he made, like, TV movies.
Okay,
then
maybe I'm taking a lack a little bit.
For, like, Disney, and then he made
okay, maybe I misheard some information. The internet's horrible with feeding me bullshit sometimes. So maybe I got to go to Snopes and look up Todd McFarlane. So I'm sorry, Todd McFarlane. I had you with Michael Bay, but Michael Bay's the bitch. I'm sorry. Todd McFarlane, you make awesome toys, and I have some.
Yeah, I had tried to watch Batman Year One. I didn't like Year One.
Year One's a little bit different though. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't really like the Catwoman plot line with like Year One. Another Frank Miller plot line, and they, you know, again, they keep it pretty close to the comics. It's just like, you know, you're not at, like, there is something as a screenwriter. It's the reason why Zack Snyder sucks. Is you have to add something. Is a lot of people didn't like, you know, the Watchmen because he was actually doing it very close to the comic book, but that comic book's so fucking deep with back matter that if you didn't read the comic, you don't get the what the fuck's going on. So a lot of people didn't like that movie. Plus, you don't have to do a slow motion for every fight scene. That's why I'm really curious about, he directed the new Superman movie.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, the guy's faster than a speeding bullet. I wonder how that looks in slow motion, you know?
I feel like I'm hoping Christopher Nolan's like, you know what? You got to stop with the slow motion.
Yeah.
Like, it's not working anymore. It's just not your thing.
I loved his Dawn of the Dead remake, though. That's like the worst part about it.
It was an entertaining remake. It was. But,
what's that? Sucker Punch? Oh my God. God, that was a horrible film. It beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful, though. If you play that movie without sound on, you put on your favorite album and just put that on the background. It's like, oh, there's some hot chicks fighting some Nazi zombies. I bet you that's a cool plot line. Against your better judgment, just keep listening to whatever you're listening to and let the visuals go. That movie's better with the sound off. The plot line... is convoluted and stupid. The you know, the acting is very, I don't know, subpar. I mean, the dialogue's just forced. It's that whole movie is just a horrible pile of shit. Except for it looks beautiful. I mean, he does get some cool shots in there.
Yeah.
It just works way better as a music video.
Yeah.
But like with Watchmen, I mean, yeah, people always say, oh, he was like really faithful to the source material, but no, he didn't. He didn't get the tone of the comic.
It's too deep, though. It's too deep, and that's not the thing. Trying to remake panels without getting like.
But he didn't do that. Like when he was initially making the movie, he's like, yeah, like with this movie, I wanted to have like the same like visual look as a movie like Seven, which is really dirty and gritty.
Right.
No, his movies are like clean and like really beautiful looking, and like that's not what the Watchmen is.
Sparkly, I'd almost say. They're very.
And then with the action, you said it's like, it's slow motion. That's not when I was reading the Watchmen novel, like it's not. I'm not supposed to be wowed by the action scenes. That's not what this is about. It's about the ideas.
It's all about the characters, and that's like it's all about like that. Like one of the big titles that were from last year is they started doing prequels against Alan Moore's wishes of like all the characters from the Watchmen, like the old, you know, the whole old group. I have to admit, I haven't read any of those yet, but
I heard they're half decent, but
that was the beauty of the Watchmen, was there was all these characters and they kind of got into them, and it's like in the movie it's just like, well, we're not going to give any of these characters time, you know, it's just we have to finish this in 3 hours, and even that's rushed, you know. It's,
well, there's always even when you're like adapting something and being really
faithful,
like being really faithful to the material, there's still like this weird disconnect with it. Like even with Sin City, I love the Sin City movie, but I remember watching it and being like, this is being perfectly adapted right now, but it doesn't feel right to me.
The beauty with Sin City was though is Robert Rodriguez fucking kind of forced Hollywood to accept digital, you know, in a different way. I know. I heard you on a podcast. Yeah, saying you hate sharing a name with him.
He's a lazy guy.
I hate that I share his name with. Yeah, I can't stand the guy. He's a lazy director. He's the laziest director I've ever fucking known.
How long has he been talking about the Sin City 2 movie? You know.
Like, yeah, no, but you have to admit though. I don't know what you think of Sin City,
but he got but lucky with that, Sin City. He got lucky with Sin City.
But he set out and he was like, I want to play with this new technology, and this is the movie I'm doing it with, and. After that,
but that's why he got lucky because it worked with Sin City. Well, I mean, that's why he got lucky because it worked with Sin City.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, it was stylistically beautiful, and it was like he was doing shit that like people were talking about at the time. Like, I don't know if this will work. I don't know if it will work. And he's like, fuck it. I'm going to do it. And you know what? Ever since then, movie's better. Because Sin City is going to be always referred to as a milestone in cinema because – it was at the time when digital was crossing over from, you know, film and,
I don't know.
Have you seen, like, you guys talked about Side by Side. You saw that. I mean,
yeah,
that
I
was
saw
like
Side
part.
By Side. Yeah. But even
with Sin City, like, I enjoyed the movie. I have no desire to ever see it again.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Yeah, exactly. Like,
I'm fine with that. But like technology wise though, I mean, like that was a huge stepping stone for everyone kind of crossing over. It's just like, oh, you can do this. Cause all that movie was pretty much shot in like one soundstage. And it was just like, they just painted that movie with a bunch of shit just all in post. And it was like, I mean, it works perfect for it because it's a comic book movie, and they made it look like a comic book.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, like again, you said you don't like the movie that much, but it
I like the movie.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I saw Sin City about four times in the first 48 hours.
Right.
Like I love.
It's a
Sin
cinematic
City.
Milestone. I mean, whether you like the movie or not, it just
I
just
don't know if I would give it that much credit.
No, visually look at the stuff that came out after it, though. It's like people were trying to imitate the shit that he did there because he was playing.
But here's
that
the
movie
thing.
Was him playing with a camera in front
of
a green
screen.
But
here's the thing. Like, that
effects.
It was him trying to make it look like the comic book.
Right.
But again, that wasn't him. That was Frank Miller. That was the comics.
No,
again,
no,
that
watch
was,
the spirit. That's Frank Miller. Frank Miller thought like, after no, the success
no, no, no,
of Sin City.
No, yeah, no, I see that. But like,
I mean, visually, he did take the panels.
Like,
yeah.
Visually, that's what he did.
Right.
The guy is the laziest. Like, when you listen to him talk, the guy digitally imposes actors next to each other because he can't film them together because they can't be in the same – they can't record the same scene at the same time because they're so busy. So he's like, oh, that's okay. Let's just digitally put them in there. And it's like, what? That's the laziest fucking type of filmmaking
I've ever. He also is a lazy filmmaker. And I think Tarantino – I mean, he's been good lately, but I think he, like, falls into that too.
Well, Tarantino, I always thought was more of a script writer than a director.
I just think there is way too much of them, of the two of them, talking about all the things they want to do rather than doing the things they want to do. And that just disappoints me, you know. Like
with Tarantino, always just like, the thing that always sells me on his movies is he writes a script that is pretty fucking awesome. Like, they take you place that is uniquely Tarantino. It, like, I know you guys, you didn't like Django right? You thought Django was all right.
I love Django. I love Django Unchained.
But you didn't like Django. No. My biggest thing about Django is, like, maybe Best Picture, he wasn't necessarily should have been nominated, but he won Best Screenplay. I know you said you didn't like the dialogue as much as that, but I definitely think that he does deserve a Best Screenplay Oscar just because he writes. It is so uniquely Tarantino, and it's like, I don't care what you say about the movies. It's just like, you can't find that voice anywhere else. Yeah. It's like, he is such a unique voice, and like, his scenes are set up for actors. It's just like, I wrote you this dialogue. I want to see you play with it. And it's like, you know, even an action film, he's trying to make, like, you know, most of his movies are action films. There's not really action based. They're character based. And it's like, it's everything that, like, I didn't like about Killing Them Softly, you know, or just like, it feels like in a Tarantino film, he really does. Like, I just, quit being polite. Say it.
That's it. I mean, no. I'm just waiting for you to finish your thought. Like, yeah. I have nothing against Tarantino, but no, right. I think it's great. Like, the only thing I did not like of his that I've seen is Django Unchained. Like,
yeah, you still haven't watched Jackie Brown yet. Come back.
I still haven't
seen
Jackie Brown. And I'm sure that'll be down there, but I mean, he's good. I just don't like when they're always talking about, oh, dumb. Like, they're excited about ideas and they never come to life. Like, how many movies was Robert Rodriguez attached to do? And there's other people that fall for that too. Like, fucking Guillermo del Toro. Finally, he's coming out with a movie. Like,
dude, that Pacific Rim was pretty badass.
I want to see these guys making movies. Not Robert Rodriguez. I do not want to see him making movies.
Yeah,
but Tarantino and Dave del Toro, I want them to see them frequently.
Hey, you
want
to do a prequel
movies.
To a podcast we're going to do soon? What are you looking forward to this summer? Pacific Rim?
Oh, yeah. It was like my number two or three, yeah.
Oh, what's the name of that new, was it Blomquist or whatever, the guy who did Jessica Nine?
Elysium.
Yeah, Elysium. That looks badass.
Same thing with him. He got tied up with fucking Halo.
Yeah.
And so he hasn't made a movie in like five fucking years. It's like, it's such a shame.
And by the way, I know I'm not involved with the pre-production or anything like that, but Halo seems like the most, like, as far from a studio standpoint, like thoughtless, like, okay, you have millions of people who are looking forward to a Halo movie. How the hell have they not made that work yet?
And this guy is the perfect guy to make
perfect
a Halo
director.
Movie.
District 9 had the perfect, like, the effects on it, plus the plot line was a perfect allegory
based on the budget. Like, that movie looks so good, and it was a tiny budget. Like,
but that movie, it was. In South Africa for a reason, because it was, you know, the whole, you know, apartheid.
That's where he's from.
Like, you know, it was just like, it was political without being political. It was a beautiful movie. It was a great science fiction movie. He made a great movie. He hasn't done anything since then. And it's just like,
I did not appreciate District 9 when it initially came out.
Really?
And I saw it again.
I saw it again.
Oh,
I love District 9, man.
It's amazing.
Every movie that you love, you fucking hate it the first time.
Hey, I'll give you credit. Like, you know, let's kick Rudy in the balls while he's not here, but at least you stay awake through him.
Did he stay awake through District 9?
I don't know. I guess my girlfriend, I try to make her. I just recently rewatched it. She fell asleep through it about 45 minutes.
I can't
ever
get tired of District 9. I can't get tired of District 9.
In her defense, though, she is a second grade teacher. Apparently, dealing with those little fucking kids running around all day, that's tiresome. So she doesn't make it through a lot of movies the first time. Took me 3 tries to get her through Avengers.
Can't blame her for that one.
Yeah, I can't blame her either.
Dude, have you seen the Phase 2 preview? It was released with the new box set.
Man, fucking cash grab. I hate they're doing Iron Man 3 and Thor 2 and Captain America 2.
I don't know. I'm looking forward. They showed some of the test footage from Ant-Man. You know, Edgar Wright's directing that.
Oh, okay.
And
I mean, you know,
Wright's been sitting on that script since
about
Iron Man
movies,
1.
But I'm gonna go in there with an open mind, hoping.
But
hoping,
like,
I've heard
Edgar Wright. I love Edgar Wright. In case you guys don't know at home, he's the guy who did Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. Like,
what is
the
it? The Cornetto trilogy. That was
the
Ice Cream trilogy.
Yeah. This ends the third of it. He also did Scott Pilgrim, which was completely underrated in my opinion.
Yeah,
but I love
movie.
Edgar Wright. But he said he wrote that, like, script back. And, like, right after Iron Man 1 came out, And Marvel's just been sitting on because they don't know. But it's like, it's supposed to be the most comedy of all the Marvel ones because not a lot of people are big Hank Pym fans out there. It's just like, Ant-Man, really? You're going to do an Ant-Man movie? But like, they're doing a Guardian of the Galaxies, you know, movie, and that's a lot less than, you know, that one. So apparently it's got the green light, and they show some of the test footage. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
It just shows them, like, you know, fucking running, shrinking, and just hitting a guy and knocking him over and stuff. It looks like, I don't know. I love Edgar Wright, man. I've been a fan of him ever since Spaced, and yeah, I can't wait to see what he does with it.
So he's definitely like attached to the direct and everything?
No, I mean, they're already doing test footage, so yeah, they're okay. They're ready. Like, okay. That's part of phase two. Like, cool. Watch the preview. They show it. They show.
That sounds cool.
They show all the artist conception stuff from. Like, they show pre-production on Captain America. I mean, just look it up on the internet. You can find. Type in Marvel Phase 2. It'll come right up. But it's yeah, they show the new Captain America.
On Google, right?
Thor.
She used Google for that.
Huh?
We should use Google for that.
Yeah. No, I don't know if it's on any other site, but if it's on Google, why illegally download? I don't know what you're implying. Fuck it. Use Bing. Not enough people. No, use ask.com. Not enough people use ask.com. Does that still exist? I don't know. It used to be Ask Jeeves, and I miss Jeeves.
Did they change it to Ask?
That was...
I mean, yeah, but I wasn't sure.
They dropped Jeeves because, like, fucking who wants to type out Ask Jeeves? But... I feel like this is Cody Rant's night.
This is a conversational podcast.
You should call this episode Evil Dead 40 Minutes Cody Rant's Hour.
Is that the sign to wrap it up then?
I don't know if you want. I mean, I got nothing else to do tonight.
Yes. I'm going to wrap it up.
Okay. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about? Is there any more assignments you have?
No.
We still have to watch our original assignments, right?
Yeah. Like, okay. I watched mine.
A little prelude for people watching. What's your next movie? What's the main movie for them?
Oh, we're
watch?
Actually, you know, since we took a week off, we were supposed to do two episodes this week, but we didn't. So we're doing Place Beyond the Pines next week. Up on Poppy Hill, which
was that already... like, because I remember you were supposed to record the night of Evil Dead, and so you didn't. Was that house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, we were gonna record the second movie, which we're reviewing, is up on Poppy Hill, the latest Studio Ghibli movie. We were gonna do that, but then after having seen it, like, do we really need to dedicate a whole episode to this movie?
Do we really need to be talking this long about Evil Dead?
So we didn't do that, and then we're gonna see something else this week. Most likely, Danny Boyle came out with Trance this week. So
that came out.
It comes out Friday.
I'm a huge Danny Boyle fan.
I am as well. So
I'm excited for that one. That trailer's amazing.
I'm not a big fan of The Island, but other than that, like, I mean,
that was Michael Bay.
No, that wasn't. No, Michael not Bay. Island. That was Danny Boyle.
The Island.
Oh, not the Island.
No. It was the one with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
The beach.
The beach, yeah.
I'm sorry. It was not an island. I'm sorry.
I thought the same thing. I was going
to... You know what I was talking about.
But that
about.
Was his first major studio film after Trainspotting.
Yeah, but Sunshine was awesome. Oh, my you God. Know,
Sunshine's amazing.
Obviously, he won an Academy Award for
Slumdog.
Slumdog. But yeah, I fucking still love 28 Days Later. And Trainspotting, I saw that in the theater, too. That's one of those movies that, like... I'm still proud. Like,
I didn't miss that.
I really like him as a filmmaker.
Yeah, he's got a good eye, man. He knows how to, like, get decent actors, like no-name actors and stuff like that.
I love
that. You know, a lot of people don't realize that on Boardwalk Empire that what's her name or something like that. That was the chick from Trainspotting,
the schoolgirl. Yeah.
Yeah, that was that little girl. He just found her as just some Scottish chick.
Yeah. She's famous, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, yeah.
Well, she was in Choke with Sam Rockwell.
Choke, I was disappointed because I'm actually a Paul Nick fan, but
I've never read the book, but I enjoyed the movie. It was alright.
It was alright. It was just
you know who directed that?
Who did?
Fucking the guy from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mars.
Agent Coulson?
Yeah, Agent Coulson directed that movie.
What's his real name?
I kid you not. I swear to God. Agent Coulson, the guy from S.H.I.E.L.D. from Avengers.
I don't know what his real name is.
He directed that? Greg Clark is his name, I think.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen the new S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show they're coming out with? No. So, Agent Coulson's the main character in it or something like that?
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series.
I'm looking forward to that
as
well.
Supposedly he may or may not be dead.
So when are you guys going to, like, it is springtime. When are you guys going to do your springtime, you always do the what you're looking forward to podcast?
We did, no, that, we already did that.
Yeah.
Did you already?
We did most anticipated, yeah. We did that, like, probably the week after we recorded, or 2 weeks.
Clark Gregg. Clark Gregg is his
Clark
name.
Greg.
Yeah. You said Greg Clark.
Oh, well, that's
the other way around.
Yeah, it was the other way around. Yeah, see? Agent Shields. Like, Agent Coulson right there. Directed fucking Choke.
I did not realize that. That's cool.
That's crazy.
I feel bad for Polonick, though, because, like, he actually has a couple of really cool movies, and, like, I think he got, like, a lot of attention after Fight Club, and then Choke went nowhere.
So I enjoyed, like, Choke. I mean, I enjoyed it. Because I didn't read the book.
But, like, there's a couple movies, though, I would love to see. Survivor, amazing book. What's the one? Lullaby? Yeah, Lullaby. I love that book. You know, there's some cool ones.
Wasn't the one that was supposed to get made about, like, these group of people or something? I don't know what the hell is it called.
Haunted?
What?
Was the name of it called Haunted or no?
Something
Haunted,
like that.
Haunted's a bunch of short stories.
Yeah. He was supposed to do, I think that was, I don't know if that was Haunted, but he was.
I don't, that would be a hard one to adapt. I mean, like, there's a main storyline that kind of ties everything in.
I've always seen that book cover, so.
I think Haunted, it is Haunted.
I would say it was one of my lesser, I mean, there's a couple of stories in there I really love, but, like, I'd much rather see Rant or something like that. Rant's a fun story. I mean.
I don't read, so.
You should try it. I mean, there's some cool books out there, man.
This is so hard for me to get to.
I recommend Chuck Palahniuk.
Yeah.
You know?
Like I said, I've only read Fight Club.
Fight Club? I actually enjoyed the book, but I actually think that the movie was better.
Yeah.
It's one of those few ones.
Yeah.
I think they add a lot. All right, we were wrapping this up, though.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. This has been episode 27. Email us, even though you never do, at the Film Club Podcast.
Wait, and you have a phone number now that no one calls you at?
Yeah, I forgot the number. I believe it's 773-245-3476. That may or may not be right.
Call if anyways. Not,
go to the yeah, see what happens. So, yeah. This has been episode 27. Thanks for joining us, Cody.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. Bye, guys.